Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Wonderful
Thursday. Beautiful Thursday in the Portland metro area.
So nice.
And there's this discussion that's going on in NBA circles right now, in league offices, media, agents. I think outside of like the transactional stuff, it's one of the biggest questions currently being discussed. And it's this idea of, is the NBA actually changing, or is it just, are we just doing this because of how teams are right now and where things sit? Is this a force of the CBA? But the idea of the NBA for basically ever has been, they are what is described as a strong link sport. And I want to preface this because there's people actually have written on this. There was a book in 2011 called The Numbers Game, and this comes from Soccer Analytics. And these two authors, Chris Anderson and David Salady, they described the key differences between sports like basketball and soccer, where basketball, at least at this point in time, in 2011, was a strong link sport, meaning typically the team with the best overall player in a series was going to win a matchup.
No doubt about it.
In soccer, it was a weak link sport, because you have more space and there's more areas and avenues to attack. And if you've got somebody who is distinctly weaker, that is the thing that you're going to try to exploit. And it's harder to stop that exploitation from happening because of the space and the opportunities that soccer affords. However, the framework is kind of shifted because in postseason basketball, if you have a player who has defensive deficiencies, you are hunted mercilessly.
Luka Doncic last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
If you've got that guy on the floor, this is what they're going to do. Like, look at what the Pistons are doing to Cat. Okay. They're the Cade Durin pick and roll in the series right now. I think it's 1.55 or 1.56 points per possession when Jalen Durin rolls. Otherwise known as the best pick and roll pairing in the league.
Yeah, buddy.
When it is Mitchell Robinson defending, it drops to like 0.56, the worst pick and roll pairing. That is the separation defensively. Now, Cat makes up for it on the offensive end, where Mitchell Robinson is only going to get you offensive rebounds, putbacks, things of that nature. But that is a very stark comparison when you're talking about strongest link versus weakest link. The Knicks are making the choice to keep Cat on the floor because the net average is X. Now, I'm not boiling it down to that. There's more to it than that because Cat can pass out of the post. He can space the floor. Like, there's more intrinsic things coming out to it. But when you boil it down to the analytics of it all, when you're looking over the scope of a 7-game series, those margins, if they're that wide, it is a real issue. And now with the way the CBA has kind of set things up and how teams have to be structured, this is why it looks like we're moving away from the three-star era. Because, yes, you could have the three stars, but if you don't have Ray Allen, who's not one of those stars, or yes, it's LeBron and Wade and Chris Bosh, but one of your weak links is Ray freaking Allen, who even in his twilight years, still really good.
Or, like Big Shot Bob. Even when you look at the Warriors teams that were winning championships, it was the role players that kind of raised their floor up. And that's where this is the interesting conversation, is that your strong links versus your weak links.
Mm-hmm.
Your strong links can dictate how high your ceiling is.
Yes.
But your weak links raise your floor up.
Or lower
to where you have a, or lower it. To where, all right, you want to always have that high ceiling because of your star, but you want that window to be tight.
Yes.
You do not want it to have the big chasm. That's what you saw with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You saw, and that's, it honestly is, it's what we're seeing with the Warriors now too, because they don't have that depth that they have
no real effective size.
And so that window is that much bigger, so matchups mean that much more. And like a bona fide dyed-in-the-wool championship contender, look at the Boston Celtics, for example. That is a team where it's a really high ceiling, so you're moving your scale up because you have the Jays, but your floor is raised up because of guys like Peyton Pritchard. Al Horford.
Yeah.
I don't know how that man is still doing this. He was on the back-to-back national championship teams at Florida in 2007, 2008. And he is still giving, are they the minutes he used to give? But it's that floor-raising minutes that he gives to where he's not a liability. And liabilities kill you in the NBA now because of the way that you have the second apron, or you have both of the aprons, and then you have inflated salaries that make it really tough to build a complete roster.
I just want to highlight this. We talked about the 2007 NFL draft and how it might be one of the best we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read for you the top of the 2007 NBA draft.
Okay.
Greg Oden, which obviously that one hurts. Kevin Durant, Al Horford, Mike Conley, Jeff Green.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. And how many of those guys are still playing right now?
All...
Jeff Green just...
No, he's still playing.
He's still playing?
He's still playing. Uncle Jeff, he's still playing.
Oh, that's right. He's in, where was he at this year? I just saw his name pop up. Houston. That's where it is. Wow.
I mean.
That's incredible.
That is look, Greg's injuries notwithstanding, that's about as good as a top five you'll ever have.
Yeah. Hot damn. He's 38 years old.
Still going.
Wow.
Still going. Now, the next pick in that draft, Yi Jian Leon.
Well.
Oops.
Can't win them all.
Oops. Think about this. KD, Horford, Conley, Green.
He's played 2 minutes in the playoffs.
17, 18, 18, and 17
and
years.
They were. Jeff Green got on the floor last night, but Cam Whitmore didn't. That tells you something.
I'll tell you right now, Jeff Green, immaculate vibes guy.
Oh, good.
Immaculate vibes guy.
I like that about him.
He is professionalism and vibes. There's another guy that's on this list, no longer in the league, in Joakim Noah. Who was taken ninth by the Bulls? Who, what? He had
that's an incredible draft,
13
man.
13 years. So yeah, that's your top nine picks. Before him, you had Brandon Wright and Corey Brewer.
Hot damn! Like that's an incredible draft for the NBA.
Those are your top nine picks.
2007, the year of the draft.
You had one just complete whiff in Yi, but otherwise. But back to the strongest link versus weakest link.
Yes,
there's some interesting discussion points in this, because you look at this and you go, you have to get to a certain threshold on the strongest links. You have to. You can't just run 10 deep hockey line shift and just hope and pray.
No.
That's kind of what the Grizzlies have done to an extent. Like when Ja can't be truly great.
When he's suspended.
Desmond regressed a little bit. Jaren has been was very good this year, but he has his shortcomings on the glass. So you have to kind of work around those things.
I mean, like we can call it what it is. The Portland Trailblazers are that. I mean, they do not have a star. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of solid role players all over the floor. They play a lot of guys because the variance isn't that dramatic between your starters and the drop off to your twos. But we see where that gets you.
Yes. But that volatility with the floor, that is the issue. Because, like, let's just say the Lakers, let's just, for giggles, let's just give them DeAndre Ayton for this experiment. You still don't have depth.
You don't have, no.
And D.A., don't get me wrong, D.A. can play 38 minutes. Like, that's like, if there's one thing about D.A., he can give you minutes. Like, that's, there's no doubt about that.
Speaking of that, just minutes eaters, the one guy that I kind of went, you didn't even, like, roll him out there, and this goes back to what coaches feel about guys. Alex Len did not even touch the floor in any way, shape, or form for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And they desperately needed a big, size. And they were just like, no.
No. Like, but that's what I'm talking about. When the weakest link is so weak, and that, I think that's probably how we have to start talking about title contenders in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to meet a certain threshold. I think the Knicks are a really good experiment for this. Jalen Brunson isn't an MVP, but he's a top 10 player in the league.
Yes.
Top 12 at worst.
Yes.
He's very good. But he has real defensive deficiencies because of his size. Now, you insulate him by having one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire league in OG Anunoby, another one of the great perimeter defenders in the league in Mikal Bridges.
And one thing that you know is that he's going to give you effort and physicality.
Yeah. And then you've got a guy like Josh Hart, and yes, you've got Cat, and you've got Mitchell Robinson. But when one of those pieces comes out, i.e. Jalen Brunson, what happens to that team? How good are they?
Not good at all.
And now you can say that about any star in the NBA, but there's that insulation is not there. Like, the creation is not there. And I'm really, I don't know how much I truly believe that this is totally changing, or if it's a bit of a hiccup in the dynamic of the NBA, but it's got, not just me, but a lot of people around the league questioning if that's the way, because you see things set up in a CBA. CBAs kind of define eras. How many teams are going to zig and how many are going to zag? How many are going to front load their roster? How many are going to go deep? Because as much as everybody talks about the Oklahoma City Thunder right now, let's see where they are in 2 years when those contracts start hitting and what choices they make.
Well, that's a good thing about having 11 draft picks.
Is that you can keep trying to kick that can and figure some stuff out. Or you say, screw it, we're going to do both and have really good, cheap, young talent, and we're also going to go trade for Giannis.
Yeah. Or, you know, move up in a draft for a team that needs so much help and you have holes to fill. And you're like, well, you can give them a few picks and we can just move up.
It's an interesting spot to be. Coming up next, we didn't
talk. I like that conversation a lot, though.
It's something to monitor.
It's probably the single biggest change in the NBA that was not an on-the-court rule, but the CBA, the second apron, and then the way that the contracts are, we've talked about this before. Wemby will make $100 million a year.
Yes. When he comes up for his Supermax at the end of year nine, he won't make $100 million.
That is not feasible for roster building and complete rosters.
Yeah, and we'll see where that goes. Coming up next, we will dive into two of those elimination games that we do have tonight with teams that are going to have to answer that question. I think we're going to get some more data out of it. We'll get that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
The basketball has the potential to be very, 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 very good tonight. You have two potential elimination games with the Knicks and Pistons at 4:30 and the Nuggets and Clippers following at 7 o'clock. The Knicks lead the series 3-2, the Nuggets up 3-2 over the Clippers. When you look at these games and you consider the discussion that we just had about the strongest versus weakest links, does that kind of shape how you're viewing these games? Because it's something I'm going to be watching intently. Because when I look at the Pistons, and this may be counterintuitive, I don't look at them as having the weakest link in this series. I think their floor might be a little bit higher, but their ceiling not quite as high as the Knicks.
Absolutely, because of what you talked about with Brunson being one of the top 10 players in the NBA, mm-hmm. but deficiencies in depth, it's hurt the Knicks, and it hurts Tibbs almost every year because mm-hmm. we talk about him running guys into the ground in the regular season. That really hasn't been the case this year, but when Brunson is dinged up and nicked up with that ankle injury that he suffered back in game five, mm-hmm. That's going to play a role, man, and you
not
need your
report.
Floor to be higher. But what the Pistons have done to sprinkle in vets this year has raised their floor exponentially. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in playoff basketball where those guys have experience. They've been there before and they've done it before.
You look at guys like Caden Duren, like, oh, and Asar Thompson, who was phenomenal last game. They're young guys. It's their first time there. It's like, you got Tobias Harris. He's been in a lot of playoff series. Dennis Schroeder has been in a lot of playoff series. Malik Beasley has been in those situations. Like, you've got Tim Hardaway Jr., even though he's been either a zero or a hero, has been good for, like, they've got guys they can fall back on.
Well, yeah, you look at it, I'm just going down the roster right now, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 guys 24 and under,
mm-hmm.
okay? But 33-year-old Tim Hardaway Jr., been in deep runs in the playoffs.
God, is he really 33?
32-year-old Tobias Harris, 31-year-old Dennis Schroeder, 28-year-old Malik Beasley. These guys have been through mm-hmm. the ringer. And that goes a long way when you're talking about how you can raise the floor in a playoff series, calm nerves, and be stabilizing forces in playoff series. And then look, like, I think people forget, B-Ball Paul is on that team.
Mm.
Paul Reed, B-Ball Paul is
on the team. He's got to be out there too.
I love B-Ball Paul.
The idea of B-Ball Paul is a lot better than what usually transpires, but...
No, that's what I love, is the idea of him being mm-hmm. on the floor. He's one of those, like...
He's the analytics darling. His on-off stuff has been bonkers for most of his career because his spurts have been so short.
And if you don't know who B-Ball Paul is, he played for the 76ers.
Mm-hmm. Paul Reed.
Kind of he's not a journeyman because he's only been on two teams. But it took him a while to find any footing,
mm-hmm.
and his Twitter handle was quite literally B-Ball Paul growing up.
Makes
so
sense.
That's the nickname.
It fits.
I love him. He is he's just a lunch pail guy.
Yeah.
You need lunch pail guys.
Oh, you do, especially in the playoffs. And you look at the other matchup between the Nuggets and the Clippers, when you talk about the high floor or the high ceiling, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Norm Powell, like, you look at that team and the firepower that they can have. I'm also reminded to point this out. James Harden has 26 games in his playoff career with more turnovers than field goals made.
I saw that stat last night, and that blew my mind. Then I went back and I was like, it's like the Alonzo Mourning gif where he's like on the Heat bench going,
shaking his head, no, then yeah.
It does make sense.
He does have the NBA record for most turnovers in a playoff game with 14.
Yeah, it's hard to make that many field goals.
14. That is such an insane number.
It's also hard to turn the ball over that many times.
I mean, that's why it's an NBA record.
Yeah. You're really trying. But the floor on that Clippers team, though, that you're talking about,
it can drop out the bottom.
But it can also be one of the highest in the entire playoffs.
Mm-hmm. The volatility with that team, Remember, this is game six. Where does James Harden disappear the most?
Game six.
He has a chance to really right some wrongs.
And being at home has never mattered. Mm-hmm. His worst playoff performances in Houston were in home. Houston.
Melting down against the Warriors.
Yeah. Oof. Yikes. But they also, when you talk about the floor, so this is what we're talking about. Norm Powell. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Who's getting real minutes.
Yeah, but the volatility is there.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a floor raiser when he's engaged mm-hmm. and in. Nick Batum, where, again, volatility, but he's aging, wily old vet yep. who knocks down a three or two for you. Chris Dunn, Derek Jones Jr., and Bogdan Bogdanovich.
And if you look at the Clipper or the Nugget side of things,
that's crazy.
It's Russell Westbrook. Good Russ versus bad Russ can win or lose you a game.
And that's it, by the way.
Yeah, the depth beyond that, like they gave Peyton Watson 13 minutes, which was, please don't lose these minutes by 20 points so we can get everybody else back in. Everybody killed J.J. Redick for playing his Lakers the entire second half of a game. Look, David Adaman probably would like to if he could, but Michael Porter Jr. is dealing with his shoulder. Jamal Murray has got a whole sort of ailments. Jokic can go until his horses come home. Like that's, he's a Terminator. That's not an issue. But like, you've got other guys that you've just got to be able to buy minutes for. And it's going to, that war of attrition at the bottom is, to me, what's going to decide that game tonight.
Saving legs is for January.
Yep.
It's not for April, May, or June.
And with that, coming up next, J.J. Redick is getting his first postseason season over press conference, and going into the game last night, it didn't exactly go well. We'll get to that next. But first, here's the Big Kuno Sports Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Los Angeles Lakers were mercy killed last night by the Minnesota Timberwolves, the gentleman sweep 4-1. And J.J. Redick and the Lakers are going to go into their first offseason together with him as head coach, and a lot of changes that need to be made. If you listen to the broadcast last night, Reggie Miller, and I heard this from other media members coming into the game, that J.J. was acting kind of crazy. And now, if you know anything about J.J. Redick, he's a psychopath.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he... When you talk about like guys, like there's a sliding scale of guys who look at film and analytics and where they value them, and how, like, JJ values both like the umpteenth degree. The tape doesn't lie. Like if you watch, what was it, the Clipped series, the FX series on Donald Sterling and the Clippers, and they're like, they had a character in there was playing JJ Redick, and they made like a little note about, don't interrupt JJ at 4:30 because that's when he gets a sandwich. And make sure that sandwich is always ready. He is a freak when it comes to routine and maintenance. Like, what's the name of his company? 342? That was the number of shots that he would take every warm-up session. And it was the same shots from the same location and the same process every way, every single time. This is one of the most regimented humans on the face of the planet. And if you watch this series of the Lakers, it was the least regimented, structured thing. Like, he was just trying anything and everything because they didn't have an answer. And it kind of falls back to the whole strongest link, weakest link discussion that we had earlier. And Reggie Miller was like, I basically had to tell JJ to calm down, dude.
Yeah.
Because he was just acting crazy. And as we were getting into the memorial season, as it were, and the ad hoc analysis of the Lakers, in not only in this series, but, you know, JJ's coaching, and like, it's funny, I'm watching Lakers fans freak out about him not playing Jackson Hayes. And I'm like, that's what we're doing here, huh?
We need to play him. We need to play him and Alex Len.
It shows you that no matter the market, no matter the stars, no matter what the circumstance, the fans will blame the coach first, no matter what, always, forever, henceforth. I still will never truly understand it. But he's not getting crucified today, but he's getting kind of dog walk.
Well, Brian Windhorst did.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this in a personal way. J.J. Redick coached very immaturely in this series. He was still seething and upset about the previous games to the point where Reggie Miller said on the broadcast last night he had to try to calm him down in the pregame meeting because J.J. was acting, you know, frankly, childishly. He walked off and stormed off in the pregame session with reporters, regardless of the question. It's not the way to start. And then he, not only did he double down on his, you know, frankly, irrational decision not to substitute for an entire half in a playoff game, he doubled down on that And then in this game, he played a guy who hadn't played in 3 months ahead of centers that he had on his roster. He played Maxi Kleba. He had never even practiced with the Lakers. Maxi Kleba's on the court with 5 minutes to go in like a two-possession game. That is not a rational decision. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't even know if Mark Williams was on this team, whether J.J. would have played him. And that's just not – I suspect in retrospect, J.J. will realize he didn't put the Lakers in the best position to win.
I don't agree with the back part of that from Windhorst, because I think that it just showed over the course of the series before last night, the first four games showed J.J. Redick, and I don't blame him for it, is that, all right, it's desperation time, and our bigs are no help to us, and they haven't been.
You're not winning those minutes, and you're not even not winning those minutes, you're losing them, and you're not getting the gain out of them that you can kind of squint and see it.
Even in the one win, he was furious about it, but you know, J.J. Redick, and I thought this is one of the good things about Old Man in the Three when he had his old podcast. Mm-hmm. One thing that they talked about a lot with players, and J.J. went into a ton, was the mental health stuff and the stresses of playing in the NBA and what it can do to you when you're in it all the time. And everybody hates you, right? And mm-hmm. it just seems like nobody is on your side. And how, J.J. Redick's talked about this several times, like the years of therapy that he goes through to try to handle those pressures and what comes down on you as a player. Mm-hmm. Now he's seeing it on the other side of it as a coach. And it's different because he was like the golden boy coach at the beginning of this thing, where there was a ton of pressure because he's a LeBron James coach, had no experience doing it. But the expectations were through the roof. And now you get Luka Doncic, it ratchets up a little bit more. But he knows the fatal flaws of the team, so what are you supposed to do when you have a fatal flaw and you can't correct it? Mm-hmm. Because you are a coach and you can only have the pieces that are around you. And you see that pressure, whether it was after the win that they had in this series or the pregame press conference yesterday where he stormed out because he was sick of talking about the same stuff over and over again.
There is an adage that I have heard from I don't even know how many executives, and it's this. Building the team is so much fun. The process of like figuring stuff out and is this going to work? Can we make this work? Can we develop this guy a little bit more? Can we get more out of this? If we make this transaction, what does this do and how does this impact this, that? It's the board game, the video game of it all. Like, how does it all fit together? What sucks is when you have to win because of all of the pressures and everything. And I'm not saying that as in a negative term, but like Bob Myers has said, like that's the reason he got out of the game. Now he also left the Warriors with the bag and was like, ha-ha, good luck guys.
Deuces.
Because he saw the writing on the wall of guys getting older and the two timelines and the transactions and a meddlesome owner, the new CBA and all that kind of stuff, which kind of also points to the Phoenix Suns have made it higher, promoting internally, moving James Jones into an senior advisory role because Bob Myers told him no. Everybody wondering, that's what happened.
He was supposed to go there. That was the big rumor, was that he's going to take over that front office.
But he looked at that and went, you have no draft assets. Your star, or one of your stars, is 37-year-old Kevin Durant, who wants out. And you've got an albatross contract in Bradley Beal. And Devin Booker is probably going to be knocking on the door here real soon saying, I want out, and I don't want to oversee that S show.
Yep.
And now you've got J.J. Redick, and Rob Pelinka just got a new extension because he was the guy who just happened to have a relationship that made sense and got gifted Luka Doncic, which, yeah, I guess if you're Genie Buss, you probably go, you know, if we don't have him, do we get that deal? Now all of a sudden the clock, not that it wasn't already ticking, now it's really ticking. And JJ's going to feel that pressure and everything that comes along with it because of all of the other stuff. And like, this is what I always say, like, there has never been a coach ever that hasn't won without great players.
Fact.
Does not happen in the NBA. You can talk about the collection of the whole and all that kind of stuff and the, you know, plucky underdogs of like the New York Giants knocking off an undefeated Patriots team. They still had a host of incredible players, but that's a different sport.
But then you go to the NBA adage of, you know, you need the stars to win. Mm-hmm. You need the players to win. But the coach's biggest hurdle is you have to have the respect of your players to win a championship. You can't get the respect of your players unless you have a championship. And that's the hardest part about coaching in the NBA. And that, like, I think having LeBron on his side was really good at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But as the playoffs wore on and as the end of the season wore on, do you think that this was a shot at Luka Doncic? What, this is JJ Redick today, mm-hmm. during the exit interviews.
You know, I think I'll start with the offseason and the work that's required in an offseason to be in championship shape. And, you know, we have a ways to go as a roster. And certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is you know, we have to get in championship shape.
Where have we heard that before? If you could not hear it, JJ Redick is saying we need to be in championship shape, and it is the offseason we need to be in shape.
Look, if Luka's ever going to do it, it's looking across the locker room. The guy that spends $1 million plus on his body every year.
I don't know how much he spends on the hookahs.
Well,
might be $1 million.
Better be some good pipe action there.
That's going to your body.
Yeah. But that guy across the locker room does everything. And look, Luka's was, for as much as the whole Luka gave up this, that, and whatever defensively, go look at what he did offensively in this series. He was incredible. He was unfreaking believable. That's what he is. But it also leaves you wanting because of how good he is but how good he should be.
Because the athleticism is there to play defense.
And look, he doesn't have to be an all-world defender.
Nope.
He just has to not be hunted. Like that's what people make this big deal about him having 25 dunks or 23 dunks his rookie year and only having two this year. It's like, I don't care if he plays below the rim. Like when you're talking about 20-ish dunks, you're talking about a game every four nights. Like that's never been his game. I will tell you this. It's so fun to talk to young Blazers players the first time they play player X. And I remember talking to a couple of the young guys over the last couple of years after they play Luka, because he's always one of those guys that I'm like, I want to ask guys, not on record, just like, hey, what was it like playing Luka? Every single one of them, goes, that dude is so strong.
He is.
Like his ability to just move you out of the way. He doesn't even look like he's doing it. And you just get uprooted. Like he's country strong in the space. His ability to stop and create. It's just otherworldly.
And isn't that the marker of great defenders though too?
Yeah. The ability to anticipate, be strong in your positioning. And it's like, if he just does the Jokic thing, he doesn't have to look like Tumani. Just get in shape.
Well, and this is the thing. Luka is going to wear on LeBron if he doesn't commit to that. And it pissed off LeBron. It doesn't matter how good you are. Luka looked gassed.
He did it to Kevin Love. So
he looked gassed.
Wouldn't surprise me. All right, when we come back, we're going to keep it in the NBA world. I want to give number one Rudy Gobert a little bit of love because Lord knows he gets crapped on. And then take a look at these games tonight and see if we believe any of these series are going to come to a close. Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan. Rudy Gobert gets killed for a lot of things. He deserves some love for what he did last night. Yes, he was playing against guys that had no business being out there and guarding him for long possessions. But he put up a Wilt Chamberlain stat line and absolutely beat the living crap out of the Lakers last night.
Say what you want about LeBron James, but when LeBron James looks befuddled when he's trying to move somebody and defend somebody, mm-hmm. I tip my hat. And LeBron James, there were a couple times he literally threw up his hands, and it wasn't like a, what are you guys doing around me? It was a,
what the hell do you want me to do?
What am I supposed to do here? Rudy Gobert was a man amongst boys last night. And 27 points, 24 rebounds.
9 offensive.
He was everything that everyone had hoped Rudy Gobert would be at some point in his career. And having a playoff game like that, pretty good time to do it.
Yeah, not a bad place for a point of reference. The Lakers had 8 total offensive rebounds.
And he had 9 by himself.
Yikes. Do we extend series in both games? Do we extend series in one game or two teams going home tonight?
Let's see. We got Detroit hosting the Knicks with a chance for the Knicks to send the Pistons packing.
And the Pistons haven't won at home yet.
I think that the one goes seven.
Yeah.
I think it goes seven. I want that one to go seven.
And then Denver, LA.
I think the Clippers end it. I think the Clippers end it tonight.
You think the Clippers lay an egg?
No, I think they end it tonight.
Well, they're down.
Oh, they're down?
They're down 3-2.
I thought they were up 3-2.
No, Nuggets 3-2.
Oh, no.
Going seven?
Going seven. Right, I think we're going to have two game sevens.
Two game sevens.
Why did I think they had... Nah. I think they're going to extend it.
On the run of play, it feels like the Clippers should be up 3-2. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. No, I think we get a game seven. I think it's heading back to Denver.
I do believe Detroit is going to win, and I think that's going seven.
Let's go.
Game six, Jim Harden is just weighing on me. It is weighing on me. Because all of the data, all of the history, everything tells you he is going to lay an egg of epic proportions.
Yeah. I think we should call it Jim Harden when he...
Oh, yeah, he's 100% Jim Harden.
I think it should be a James Harden lay an egg game. Those are Jim Harden games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It weighs on me. I don't trust it.
I picked the Clippers to win this series, but two games that should have gone your way didn't. And usually one is enough to spell you. Two is usually the end of you.
Yeah.
And then your back is against the wall with Jim Harden game six. I'm going to take the Nuggets here.
Oh, I'd be happy. I'd be happy for David Adelman. I hope David Adelman gets a crack at being a head coach. I think for a guy who's stepping in on an interim basis,
he's
done
a
really damn good job with limited resources in Denver right now.
I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't the head coach when it's all said and done, even if they ended up losing the series.
Let's go.
So there you go.
All right. That does it for us. Thursday, check mark. If you missed our interview with Dick Girardi, Kentucky Derby, great interview. One of the horses we talked about, Rodriguez, has been scratched.
Oh.
Baez stepping in. Rodriguez is going to run in the Preakness, though. So that leaves Bob Baffert with one horse in the Kentucky Derby, Citizen Bull, which drew the rail. So it's got to run from the inside.
Mm.
All right, that'll do it for us. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time. I think it's just Rop and Buck today.
Hey-o.
Hey, have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on The Fan.
Bye. All you've got is like this thing, like reaching up underneath you, kind of cupping you.